Matthew chapter 23. And I'm going to look at we're going to look at the Pharisees today. Amen. Everybody likes Pharisees, right? Cuz they're kind of like us. Amen. Like when we start out, amen, until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, begins to transform you and change you. All right? I'm going to read quite a bit of this because I want to get the story, and then I'm going to draw a diagram for you. As far as spiritual growth is concerned, all right, and what God's interested in and what He's not interested in, because when He wants to you to mature, when He wants you to grow, He wants to do it, amen. He doesn't want you to do it. I mean, He gave a law, and everybody said, and when He gave the law, and everybody stood around and said, okay, everything that you said, we'll do it. Well, how many know they ever did it? Huh? I said, how many know they never did it? The law was never completed. The law was never done. They never got it done. Everything you have said, we will do. Never happened. You know, and then, but Jesus knew that, God knew that from the beginning of the world, the foundation of the world, and He sent who? Jesus. He sent Jesus to, in fact, be the Passover lamb. He sent Jesus to be the final sacrifice for our sin, so that we could enter into the presence of God and the Holy Spirit could come and to dwell in us. And then what God's doing, He says, be holy as I am holy, be perfect as I am perfect, but you can't do that in this. You can't perform that in this body. Amen? That's not going to happen. But one thing that God can do is He comes and lives in you and dwells in you by the Holy Spirit. His Spirit comes to live and to dwell in you. And as you spend time in His presence and worship God, not attempting to be perfect, but attempting to just fellowshipping with Him, actually, He begins to transform you. You know, Jesus said that the works that I do, I don't do them, but the Father in me, He doeth the works. And then Jesus said when He's fixing to ascend to the Father, He says, those works that I have done and greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. And then, of course, in John, during the Passover meal, in John, He begins to tell them, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send a Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And He is going to do the things that in you and through you that you could not do without Him. Even if I was here, you could not do them. Even if I was here, you could not do them. It's better that I go away. Jesus said, it's better that I go away. Isn't that funny? You'd think if we were here with Jesus, things would just be wonderful. But it's not going to help you. You know, what helped you is when Jesus died and He rose again and then He ascended to His Father and then He sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell inside of you so that you will begin to do the greater works that Jesus talked about. All right? Now, let's look at chapter 23, because what I want to talk about is what God doesn't want, what He's not interested in, okay? Then Jesus spoke to the multitude. This is Matthew chapter 23. It's going to be a little bit of a long reading, so just kind of bear with me, okay? Jesus spoke to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Okay, they sit in that seat of authority and judge over the law. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Well, it's very interesting how He makes a distinction between the office that the Pharisees and the scribes are sitting in as far as leadership, as far as declaring the word of the Lord, and then the works that they are apparently doing or not doing. So He says, don't do after their works. Now, whatever they tell you, do, but don't follow them as if they were actually doing good works. It's like, what if they're telling you to do, do that, but don't like look at them as if they're something to be admired or followed after. For they bind, verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sounds like if I were to come up here and say, you guys need to make me look good as your pastor. Yeah, you guys need to straighten up, fly right, and be looking good. Now, don't check me out. I'm going to be at home or whatever I'm going to be doing. But you guys, when you're out and about, make sure you keep your hair combed and keep your teeth brushed and don't do wicked. Don't do evil works. Make sure you make me look good. Well, see, that's what the leaders here are getting, trying to put off on the Jews, is trying to do the same thing. Do you know pastors did the same thing today? Not all of them, but a number. Because people are into works. People are into works. And what the fallacy there is that as if people are going to be able to pull off doing good works without having a relationship with Jesus. We just put Jesus off in a box, put him off to the side, and we're just depending on you. And put grievous, heavy burdens on you. You know, Jesus is not putting a burden on you. I may not get through this. I'm preaching too quick, too early. But Jesus is not depending on you. How many know Jesus doesn't trust you? I've heard it said, well, Jesus trusts you. He does not. Jesus does not trust you. He died to wipe out all of the guilt and condemnation that came with your sin. He doesn't trust you. He trusts the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. He's not trusting you to do anything. He says he wants you, in fact, to die. Your human, earthly person, he wants to kill that part. Amen? Anybody know that? God actually would like to kill you. Oh, no. Well, it's not because he's mad. It's because he knows that your flesh, in this flesh, the Scripture says, dwelleth no good things. In Romans, he says, in my flesh dwelleth no good. Everybody say that. In my flesh dwells no good thing. Now, are you happy with that? God's great with that. He is happy with that because he knew that from the foundation of the world. That's why in Genesis chapter 1 or Genesis chapter 3 that he already made a plan. He made a plan that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. I mean, from day one, essentially, God made a provision. He said Jesus was the lamb slain when? From before the foundation of the world. He already knew you were going to mess up. And here we are with Pharisees and church members and preachers. Even after Jesus and dying for our sins and sending the Holy Spirit, here we are 2,000 years later, still trying to keep the law, still trying to fix up, still trying to do it right. You know what? God never expected that. What he expected was the Holy Spirit's going to come in you and he's going to dwell in you and he doeth the works. All right? Okay, so let's keep looking here. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. Imagine that. God, did you see that? Brother, did you see that? See, works tend to be done to be seen of men. You know, now I understand that we have a heart born of God, and our desire is to do those good works, is to do the work. We have a desire from the heart to do good works. But on the other hand, there is another part that's called flesh that we kind of like people to look. We kind of like people to pay attention. You know, most churches get upset when people are not appreciative. We'll talk about that later. But when people are not appreciative of the things that they have done, and my gosh, some people have worked for churches for years. Amen? I mean, that's Sister So-and-so's, I better move. That Sister So-and-so's pew. You don't sit in her pew. She's the sweetest lady in the world, but don't sit in her pew. Amen? Don't sit in her spot. Or don't, get in the way, don't get in the way of her or his or that brother's ministry. Don't get in the way of his ministry. Don't stand in his place. Amen? Praise the Lord. Y'all look so excited today. It's just exciting preaching. All right? But all their works they do for to be seen. Now look, I didn't write this. This is Jesus. Well, he's talking about Pharisees and hypocrites. My goodness, he is, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Can't be any of those here. Least of all me, right? Hello. Oh, is that your name in there? No, I thought it was my name in there. Amen? Yeah, because I am guilty. Amen? I'm not going to ask you to say it. You can say it yourself. I'm guilty. I know that I'm guilty. I've done things to be seen of men. Standing up here in front of y'all, walking around. But God is good. God's faithful. Now, He did call me. He did call me. But I've messed up ultimate times. But you know what? I believe God still called me. He's still going to use me. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And it's incumbent upon me to hear the Lord and repent. Amen? Thank you, Lord. But all their works they do, for to be seen of men, they make broad phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. In other words, got this giant pouch on the front of their head. It says, always keep the Word of God in front of your eyes. Well, they've got this ludicrous big thing that they strap around their head. Now, they could probably run into a post if they're not careful. This is what the Pharisees did. They had this big leather pouch filled with a little scroll. They started out like this big, like just a symbol, about just like that. But then they got to be huge. They got to be like where you were wearing a knapsack on the front of your head. Just to be seen of men. You could see the guy coming. He has a big thing on the front of his head. All right? He says they bind those phylacteries on their heads, enlarge the borders of their garments, just huge, you know. When you see them coming, you just see, you know, religion coming, walking down the street. Well, we don't do that. Okay. And love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and chief seats in the synagogues. Now, I'm not abusing you. I want you to know this. I'm not, because I'm exactly the same. What I'm doing is sharing these things so that we recognize them. We recognize what it is to do for people rather than what it is to be motivated and moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. And this is just a kind of an introduction. This whole idea is just an introduction to where I want to go with this. And greetings in the markets to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. But be you not called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all of your brethren. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in yourselves, neither allow them that are entering to go in. See, they're just getting your way. People who are teaching works, righteousness, they're just getting in the way of you entering into the kingdom of heaven. Powerful. They won't even let those in who want to get in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. And for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, one convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That's not a good testimony, is it? It's not a good testimony. You win one convert and you make him a child of the devil. You know, when you're finished with him, when you're done with him. So most religion does that to you. It puts you in a position of you trying to perform and do the will of God when God's interested in you fellowshipping with Him and allowing Him to do works that will transform you and will transform somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah! Good word. All right, look over at verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides which strain at a gnat, little bittiest thing. See, they keep the little bittiest thing and put a burden on you for that, but they swallow a camel. They just let a camel go right by. You strain out a gnat. It's like if you're cooking, you know. You have a big old chunk of something, you would normally get rid of it, but this little gnat right here, well, praise the Lord, just keep eating. But these guys, they strain out the gnat, and they'll swallow the bone. They'll just swallow that. That is no big deal. Woe to you, verse 25, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. Boy, it looks good. But within, they're full. The cup is full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of the cup may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like to whited sepulchres, tombstones, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within they're full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now listen to me, this is talking about every person who comes to the Lord. Now why is that? It's because who qualifies to come to Jesus? Sinners. He said, I did not come for the righteous, because there aren't any. There is none righteous, no, not one. He's just making it very clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. I came for sinners. How many qualify? Huh? How many qualify? I qualify. Now the question is, okay, now those who were, now we're talking about those coming in who were born, you're born again. How did you get in? How did you get in? You got in as a, because you were a sinner. Because you were a sinner, that's how you got in. That's how you were qualified. Amen? And then God Himself gets, He transforms the sinner. Repentance, faith. And then, as He begins to live in you, dwell in you, you begin to be changed. Amen? Not because of your strength, not because of your power, but because of Him. Okay? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because, verse 29 here, because you build tombs of the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Well, just building monuments to the prophets. And say, if we had been in those days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We wouldn't have killed our prophets. Wherefore you were witnesses to yourselves, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers. My, Jesus is not very nice. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel, the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say, you shall not see me hereafter, till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And he's talking now to the Jewish people. Even in Isaiah, he said, there's a blindness upon the Jewish people. Now, not individual Jewish people, individuals have come to the Lord. We're talking about the Jewish people as a people, as a body, as a whole, have had a blindness laid upon them. But then there is a day coming that Jesus said here, your house is left. This is beginning right now. Beginning at this point in time, because you have trusted in your own works. For I say to you, you shall not see me hereafter, till you shall say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is, that day is soon to come. That day is even coming in our coming soon. We believe that day is coming in a day not too far off. I'm not going to tell you the day, because nobody knows the day and the hour. But that day is coming, because he's promised the day is coming. Now, to talk about this, I'm going to draw you a little diagram. And again, Pastor Jim's the drawer. I'm not the drawer. He's got like 3 art degrees. I don't have any art degrees at all. Amen? So I hope you can work this out. I'll make sure this microphone doesn't fall off my head. All right. Even my circles are have trouble. Okay, now. This is spirit, soul, body. We believe that I am a spirit. I have a soul. Did I do that backwards? Oh, okay. Just didn't do it right or something. I am a spirit. I have a soul. My mind, my will, my emotions. I live in a body. I believe that God points this out. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 talks about that the Word of God divides between soul and spirit, discerns between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In fact, that's how we enter into His rest, is because the Word of God makes a separation between the soul and the spirit. Also, Peter, he says, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's in the Scripture, he has defined these three areas that we live in. The spirit is that part of you which walks in faith, which is born again. Okay? Born again. The soul is that part of you which, first of all, has the mind, the will, and the emotions. And your body is your outward. Yeah, body is body. All right? Body is the part of you that you see. Me, right here. This is it. This is the body part. Right. Now, I want to draw a couple of lines for you. Because in the person who is born again, most people in the world, when you're looking at behavior, I'm drawing a dotted line here, across here, between soul and body, and what I'm going to also call moral. In the soul, I'm going to call it moral and or religious. Okay? And in the body, I'm going to write down, because this is the flesh, these are the works of the flesh, wicked and lascivious. Lascivious just means wicked. Just a good Bible word for all kinds of wickedness. Now, most church people make a definition, make a line of demarcation between moral people and immoral people. I'll call that immoral, just so we keep our metaphors proper. Okay? Moral and immoral. Wicked. So all of this, so most people make a difference between these two. And I just want to point out to you one thing, is that God does not make that distinction. Amen? Listen to me. God does not make the distinctions that we make. Now, we make the distinctions because this is the distinction that Caesar cares about, okay? Caesar cares about this distinction. This is his job, Romans 13. His job is to distinguish between moral people and wicked people. So we let Caesar take care of those guys. If you're wicked, you go to jail. If you're moral, we leave you alone. But God doesn't make those distinctions for His purposes. God makes only one distinction between born again and all the rest. So all the rest, it doesn't matter whether you're a moral good person and you get born again, or whether you're a wicked outward person and you get born again. All have sinned and need salvation. Amen? Now, I'm going to make this distinction. I want to make this distinction really clear. It's saying that this here is what Jesus actually talked about and what he likes. Is this here. This is hot. Oh, excuse me. I'm doing this totally backwards. This is cold, wicked. This is hot. Remember Jesus said, I would rather have you what? Hot or cold. You know what this is? This is the one he doesn't hate this one. How many know God does not hate this one? And we'll read the scripture on it. God does actually not hate this one. He actually loves this one because you know why? I want to tell you something why. As far as God's concerned, this one does not exist. Amen? Because this is what the hypocrites are doing. This is what the hypocrites are doing. Is that when you're doing this in your own mind and your own strength, this is the point. When you're doing good works out of your own juice, out of your own goodness to make God happy, to please God, he's not pleased. See, because he's the one who wants to do the work. Listen. But the problem is, we don't even have faith in God. Because we believe if we don't do the works, they won't get done. Does that make sense? We believe, God came to save me and came to dwell in me, therefore I've got to do some works. No, no, no. Listen, you do not do the works. Only Jesus does the work. See, the problem is that you have not come into a relationship where Jesus is fellowshipping with you and doing the work. Jesus didn't just give you a Bible and say, here's your instructions. Go do it. That's not what he said. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to dwell in you. He is with you and shall be where? In you. He shall be in you. So your life is now a fellowship. You and Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost, living together, walking together. When Jesus said to the disciples or to the Pharisees, just to the people, the crowd, the multitude, it's not me, but the Father doing the works. Amen? So Jesus was saying, there's somebody in me. It's not me doing the works. It's my Father through the Holy Ghost living in me. When Jesus came up out of the water in baptism, when John baptized him, the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt on him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit came and began to operate in works through Jesus. The Holy Spirit came, and now in his person, he was 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And he died as man for you. His body was slain for you, but he died also as God and could not be remain in the grave. Because his death actually paid for all of your sin. His death totally paid for all of your sin, past, present, and future. And what God is interested in is even though you've still got this flesh down here, this one right down here, he says, I'm going to transform that and I'm going to make it whole. Amen? So he's going to make this from wicked to righteous. He's going to make your body go from wicked to righteous. All right? This right here is false righteousness. Okay? It's false righteousness. It's works righteousness. Okay? This one is what God hates. He hates, when we're talking about the Pharisees doing all the things, remember what we read? All the things that we were reading about? That's what he hates. He hates that stuff. What he likes is for you to say, Jesus, I thank you that you love me today. Thank you that you've forgiven all of my sins. I just rejoice to be in you. And thank you that as I go to work today, or as I'm going wherever I'm going, doing whatever I'm doing, is the Holy Spirit just flows out of me and just walks in me. And the glorious gospel is seen everywhere, everywhere I am, because you're in me to what? To Philippians 2 says, in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. He's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. So here, we're hot because we've had what? It's, lost my notes. Because of truth and faith. This guy here is no more than a liar, a Pharisee, and a hypocrite. Can't even spell hypocrite. Wow, that's terrible. Now, I want to show you something very interesting about this bottom guy. Okay? Because again, what I'm saying is, God does not draw the distinction between moral people and immoral people. He does not draw that distinction as a Christian. He does not draw that. Am I saying go sin all you want? It's not helpful. I mean, eventually you'll die or get killed or your body will faint or something. It's just not helpful. Amen? And you don't want to walk in that, because there might be a day that you might just not want the gospel anymore. You got to know that this and this are all the same in front of God. He makes the distinction between born again and flesh. That's it. Spirit and soul and body together. That's what he makes the distinction from. All right? So he's not interested in your moral behavior. He's not. He's not interested in your moral behavior. What he's interested in, having a relationship with you. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, now, look here. I want to show you something about this wicked guy. Now, the reason we call this guy a liar, and this guy, we're going to call him honest. The wicked guy, honest, sinful. What God would rather you do, what God wants from you, is to say, I am. Now, no, we're not talking from the heart. Everybody say, if you're born again, say it with me. Say, I'm born again, filled with His Spirit. He loves me. I come into His house every day. He likes me to come in. He likes me to sit on His lap. All right? That's true. This is you. So you're coming into His house every day. Seated. This is you. Together with Him. Heavenly places. Okay? Now, so you're standing together with Him, but you still got one of these. You still got one of these. Amen? And you know what? Even though it tries and it has a bent in religion to try to look good, God doesn't count it. He does not count your good looking. What He counts only is what He does when He speaks it to you. You know, you don't kind of build up like little hash marks. Well, come home. You remember like Snoopy on the side of the plane? You know, he would always do like this. You don't get to build up good works like that. Amen? I said, you don't get to build up good works like that so you can go back and look at your notebook and find out how you're doing. But what God wants, God's desire is for you to be this. Is you come into His presence as you're worshiping Him, and He'll show you, and He'll show you a sin, like we talked about a little bit this morning. He'll show you a sin. He'll say something to you. He'll say, what about, oh yeah, man, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, I love you so much. What's that right there? And He's pointing to a spot or a wrinkle. Remember, He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. But you know, you don't know, even know how to clean anything. You don't even have any cleanser. You don't have any Comet. You don't have any Windex. You just came in with nothing. You know, and you were hoping you could kind of kind of cleanse up, or that God would like your works, and you know the works that you do are just filthy rags, so it's no good. So God points this out, but you know what? He doesn't tell you to do anything about it. You know who does something about it? You know who changes it? He does. When you see sin and God shows it to you, first of all, it's devastating because you really see it. You see what it is. It's not just, oh, got caught. Oh, nuts. Oh, boy, I wish he hadn't seen that. That's not how it is. When God reveals a sin, number one, it's probably not the one you were thinking of. You know, you saw a sin that was outward. You saw a sin, well, you just punched the guy in the nose. No, the truth is most of your sin is unbelief. You thought you had to protect yourself, so you punched the guy in the nose. You're going to help yourself. You're going to take care of yourself. God said, take care of him. I'll take care of him. Well, I don't believe you'll take care of me. I believe I've got to take care of myself. How many like that? Huh? How many of us like that? I'm going to take care of me. Glory to God. You know, I haven't seen God show up often enough to take care of me. So I pretty much, remember again, we talked about this morning. You've been brought up in this world, so you know how this world works. So, glory to God, I'm going to take care of business. God said, no, your life is no longer your own. Your life is no longer your own. You don't even get to decide what good works are. Okay? You don't get to decide what good works are. So, you know that little symbol with the little X out through it, driving down the road like this one? That's what God wants with that religious person. That's what God wants with morality and religion. What He wants is it not to flow out of you. What He wants is it to flow out of Him. So, what happens is it comes from here, and it totally, this is not, again, this does not exist. The moral person does not exist. I don't know if that's hard. That may be hard to get. Amen? You're not good. There is none good. No, not. There is none good but. It's amazing. See, the reason He gave the law doesn't save anybody. The reason He gave the law was to expose sin. Uh-oh. Cover up. I mean, that's what Adam and Eve did, right? You remember them? Remember those guys, Adam and Eve? Quick, get some leaves. Sew them together. Let's cover up. We sinned, but God will never notice because we did these leaves. Aren't we clever? We're very clever about covering sin. You know what, God? Adam, where are you? It's like he didn't know where he was. Adam, where are you? I don't think he can see us. We're hiding behind the tree. No. God knows. He sees it all. But what he did, what did he do immediately? He came in and he covered them. He covered them. You know what? When God shows you a sin, he immediately covers it. What? With the blood. Amen? Don't be afraid to come into the presence of God. He wants to cover you. He wants to cover you. He loves you. He thinks you're the greatest. You wicked thing, you. I mean, even you still got a flesh. I'm not being mean to you. I mean, I'm the same. Amen? Because we have this old flesh, but God didn't redeem it yet. Remember when He's coming to redeem it? He said in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, He'll tell you how your body's going to be changed. You know what? It's not going to be changed before then. You should be riding around in this old Buick until the end of it, right? So I think Pastor Jim said your body's going to last till it's dead. It'll last until it's dead, so it'll be okay. It'll last as long as you need it. All right? So now again, so what we're saying here is that God, by His Spirit, is working through this wicked, lascivious person. So what you do is say, God, you know, I was really wicked, nasty, awful today. But I thank you that you love me. So basically, here's what's going to happen. I want to show you something really going to happen here. And then we'll read a couple more scriptures, and then we'll be done with this. All right? Now, so right here, make sure I get this right. All right? This here, you can never go from being moral to being born again. You may think you did, but you didn't. You don't go from moral to being born again. God doesn't recognize that. So it's not you don't go because we said he only came for what? Sinners. So here, you can't. This is a false conversion right here. False conversion is going from moral to born again. You can't do that. Here's what's got to happen for you moral people like me. Here's what's got to happen is that you were moral, or maybe you weren't. Some of you may have started down here. And that's really easier. If you start down here, it's really better because you don't get fooled by religion. Amen? Now, unless you do like the Pharisees did, is they took people from here. This is Phariseeism. You take people from here to here. From bad to good. Oh, that's much better. That's like most church. You take people from being wicked to moral. But you bypass the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus died for you, so therefore you should be grateful and you should now shape up. This is most churches. This is most churches. This doesn't happen, and this is what most churches do. They bring people from wicked to good. Oh, thank you. Well, that's not their job. Remember, that's the job of who? Whose job is that? To bring people from wicked to good. And how does he do that? With the sword. I don't have one, so. He does that with a sword. God doesn't have a sword, so what usually happens? Nothing. You just got wicked people with paint on them. You just got wicked people with paint on them. They're just trying to look good to fit in. But then they go home and sin. All right. Anyway. So that doesn't work. And that doesn't work. Here's what works. Is even a moral good person, if you're a moral good person, to get born again, you have to first of all know is you repent. I am a wicked sinner. And then you go, by faith, to born again. Okay? So it's a two-part deal. If you're a moralist, you start out having to go back down and say, you know what? I'm a wicked sinner. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today? Anybody following this? I hope you are. Because you can't be a moral person. God's not interested in moral people, good people. What He's interested in is you finding out that Jesus died for sinners and you're one. And so just say amen and just go on up and receive and then live by faith through the Holy Spirit. All right? I'm not going to do what I do with the young people. I usually, at about this point, I say questions, comments, complaints. All right, let's look at a couple of the scriptures here. Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say to you, Jesus saying, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Well, those guys are pretty, you have to remember who the audience is. Those guys are pretty doggone good. They're pretty righteous. I don't know how I could really exceed that. The point is, you can't. It's not that they're all that good, but it's what they purport to be, what they portray to be. And the general consensus was, man, those guys are the top, top, top. Those guys are the very best of the best. And Jesus is making it what? Impossible. Jesus makes it totally impossible. And He's going to continue to make it more impossible. Listen, you've heard it was said of old time, you shall not kill. Well, yes, amen. And whoever will kill will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Not only just the killer, but the one who thought about killing him. If you just thought about killing him, it's worse than you imagine. Jesus is just saying the law is even worse than you imagine. It not only covers outward, but it covers inward. It covers what you're thinking. It's like this hate crime bill we got going. But see, the government is not allowed to do hate crime legislation. That's only God can handle that. Government can't do that. They can't get in your head. That's not their job. When you, sorry, the only time they can do it is when you do it. If they can stop you, that's great if you're heading that way. But, you know, they can't get you for your head. But God says His law applies even in your head. All right? Now look down at verse 27, Matthew 5, 27. You've heard it said, of old time you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Sorry, girls, that applies to girls too. And men. The other way around. Actually, these days it applies to everything. So, I mean, they're making it up as they go now. I mean, men, women, both, neither. You know. But it says, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. So God makes it absolutely impossible. You thought the Pharisees were bad. Jesus made it. Jesus was friendly, but He all of a sudden made it totally impossible. Totally impossible. Matthew 15. Look at that. Just a couple more spots. All right, Matthew 15, 1. Then came to Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees, which are of Jerusalem, and said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? We've got our traditions, and they're messing with them. So they had their own little laws out there. They're not the law, but they're the traditions that the elders had set up. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But when he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, interesting, here's what God said, now here's what you say. You say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift if you are at all blessed by me. How would you like to hear your kids say that? Mine wouldn't get very far out the door with one like that. You know, it's just, if you get anything from being my parent, it's just a gift from God. And you honor not your father or your mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. God said, honor your father and mother. Whoso curses father and mother, die the death. But these guys are letting them off the hook because they're doing it themselves. If you're making the laws, you make a law that pleases you, don't you? Pleases your flesh. That's what happens with moral people. Moral people are really not moral. You ever figured that out? Moral people are really not moral. Moral people are just hiders, just liars. They do things to be seen of men, to look good, but they've got phoniness in them. Now granted, one day or another day, you might have, you know, had a good work, good, very good intention to do a wonderful thing. But you know what? If that's the truth, that wasn't you. Any good work that comes out of you, somebody said it this morning. Larry said it this morning. That's glory to God. If there's anything that is anywise could be said, well, that was good. That was not you. That was not you. That was only the Holy Spirit. That was God Himself. Apart from Him, you can do what? Thank you. So, verse 7 here, Matthew 15, verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And look over quickly at 21. Matthew 21. And we'll quit. Matthew 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go to work in my vineyard today. And he answered and said, I'm not going. But afterward he repented and he went. And he came to the second son and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I will go. But he didn't go. He said, I will, but he didn't go. Which of the two of them did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus says to them, verily I say to you that publicans and sinners, publicans and the harlots, go into the kingdom of God before you. Now what did we just draw up on that board? Who goes into the kingdom of God first? The sinners! That's just not right. That doesn't seem right. For John came to you in the way of the righteous, John the Baptist, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And you, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe. You see, there is no righteous. We need to get rid of the category, okay, of the moral, religious person. Just kind of get that out of your mind. Just erase that idea. Let's say that Jesus Christ came for sinners alone, and that's the only kind he gets, and everybody else is trying to get in another way. Everybody else is trying to get in, find a back door to be okay with God. There is no other way than coming in as an absolute wretch. You know, after saying it, I didn't put her up to it. She just came to me this morning. She said, can I sing this? I said, have you practiced? Well, I'm practicing now. Okay. I once was blind. Yeah, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a what? A decent folk like me. A decent person like me. No, it's a wretch like me. In other words, totally hopeless, wicked, sinful. I have no hope of ever being worthy in the sight of God. None, 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 none. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. Anybody born on this planet qualifies for heaven only by being a sinner. Amen? And then what you do is receive Jesus Christ's sacrifice by faith, and then He becomes in and lives in you by the Holy Spirit, and He begins to transform you as you spend time in His presence and worship Him. And it's not about you doing a good work to please God. God is already pleased, amen? You know who He's pleased with? Jesus. And now what else He's pleased with? Faith. What? What? He says, what pleases God? Anybody know? Faith pleases Him. Not good works, but faith pleases God. That's what pleases Him. All right? And so if faith pleases Him, then He comes in and begins to manufacture and do the works in and through you. Amen? So, let's just be Spirit-paid-for wicked people who Jesus loves and He's transforming and changing and daily causing to be made in His image. One last scripture, and we all know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, that's unveiled, we come into the presence of God without the veil. Unlike Moses, you know, he wore that veil to go in, say, over his face. Actually, he didn't wear the veil in front of God. He just wore the veil in front of people. We come in with open face, as in a glass, beholding the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We're changed by what? Beholding Him. That is, by coming into His presence, we're changed, transformed, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. We're transformed and changed. I hope you're blessed this morning. I hope you got at least a glimpse what I'm trying to share with you today. And not your inability, but my inability to be accurate or clear. And so, anybody blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hope so. Let's all stand together. Father, we magnify you and exalt you. Thank you, Lord God, that you, the very best thing you could have done is come for wicked sinners. Because the other thing whereby we try to come into your presence is a lie of men. It's not true. It's a tradition of men to behave yourself, to be good, and God will like you. And God will be pleased. It's not true. God's only pleased with Jesus and through those who have put hope and faith in His name. So, Father, we thank you this morning that you will cause us to see that no longer will we desire to please you through our good works, and that when we came in those who are wicked and sinful, and those who in fact still walk in wickedness in our flesh, not from the heart. From our hearts, we are totally perfect and pure before God. Totally perfect, totally welcome in the presence of God, that we have boldness to enter into the presence of God to find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. But Father, we thank you that though in our flesh daily, we must come to your throne, come in, and daily say, Lord God, we've done wickedly. I've sinned. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you forgive me. I come and throw myself upon your grace and ask you to work in me works of righteousness, works of holiness, until the day of Jesus Christ, so that your name may be glorified and magnified. In Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.